Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the first quarter results 2011 conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday the 28th of April 2011. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Robert Jan van der Kratz. Please go ahead, sir.
Welcome this morning to the Randstad conference call. I'm here with some of my colleagues, but especially Ben Notenboom and also Jan-Pieter van Vincent, who took over as Director of Investor Relations from Bart Giernotten recently. And Bart moved on in the organization. I'm going to take you through the presentation, and I'm going to move to slide 5 right away, which shows you the market trends, which are strong and are persisting. And they kind of continued more or less in line with the typical patterns that one would expect. The market growth on average is strong despite the more difficult comparables. Please mind that last year in March we did see the first month of growth, but it improved from a minus 5 to a plus 4 through the quarter. We also see continued high growth in the industrial segments, especially the markets that are focused on industry, like the U.S., Germany, and France have show a strong growth. The public sector is relevant to our business in the Netherlands and in the U.K., and that's where we do see impact from the austerity measures. That has a relevant impact on the results, which I'll get back to. The administrative segment we do see gradually strengthening, especially in the U.S. We've seen that now. So this is the kind of clerical profiles. And in the Netherlands, important to note is that Randstad Netherlands is back at market in the first quarter. Moving to the next slide, 6. Some highlights. It was a strong start of the year. Revenue amounted to 3.7 billion, which is a 15% organic growth per working day. And through the quarter, it reached 15% in March, and it was more or less flat through the quarter. The in-house continues to be very strong at 41% versus 51% in the previous quarter, but please note that comparables are getting much more challenging here. Growth in staffing was up to 16% compared to 15% in Q4, and in professionals, we moved from 4% in the fourth quarter to 6% in the first quarter. And also that is what one would expect to see. Permanent placement fees are up 15% organically, slightly lower than in the previous quarter, and also slightly slower development than one might anticipate. The gross margin moved from 18.9% to 18.1% year-on-year. The impact of the French subsidy system was 0.2 at group level. And please note, because I've seen some of your comments, that the 0.5 that we estimated as full-year impact was at the level of the French OPCO, so at the level of our reporting on the French market. We do see some mix effects due to strong growth of in-house and slower growth of professionals, and that is a key driver of the slightly lower gross margin. But we also do see some pricing pressure in some of the regions in the field of some significant deals that have been renegotiated, but also passing on of cost price increases to clients, which we expect to come through gradually throughout the year. The growth in permanent placement fees has no impact on the mix at this point. Productivity measured by gross profit earned per head was up by 7% due to the continued use of overcapacity, but please mind also that this is a mix. We do see high productivity levels in certain regions in Germany, for example, whereas in other parts of our company, for example, the Netherlands, we have overcapacity that remains unused. The operating expenses are sequentially down by 2% to 562 million, which compares to an outlook that we provided of no more than 575 million, and the gap is fully in line with the gross profit development, and that is the result of our intensive field steering, so making decisions on the back of detailed signals in our branches. And we also spend less marketing expenses than anticipated, but typically this is a timing element. The next slide, seven, and it continues here. EBITDA reached 109 million compared to 75 million last year, a margin of 2.9%. The developments with regards to the earthquake and the tsunami in Japan are that, fortunately, all our internal staff are safe. We, however, have one flex worker unaccounted for still. The outlets have all been reopened relatively quickly. The impact in the first quarter was immaterial, but in the second quarter, we have a hard time estimating it precisely, but the impact might be up to 5 million in the second quarter, but hopefully it's going to be less. We expect a recovery to come through in the second half of 2011, and we already see the first signals of demand for people that are needed to help with the cleanup. We also see some temporary capacity reduction at some of our European and U.S. automotive clients in the first quarter. Finally, the first quarter was also the launch of our organic growth accelerator plan in the field of professionals, which I'll get back to. The next slide, eight, the Netherlands. Randstad, as I said, back at market. Organic revenue growth arrived at 7%, which compares to 4% in the last quarter in Q4. Randstad Netherlands back, Tempo-Team somewhat behind, and the revenue decline at Yacht is stable at single-digit rate. Please mind that the industry association, the ABU, does not account for the professional segment in which Yacht operates. The exposure in the public sector in the Netherlands is significant. That's why we have added a graph at the right lower corner of the slide. As you can see here, in 2011, 18%, and this is Q1 of 2010, 18% of our revenues was related to the public sector. In 2011, that has reduced to 13%, a very significant impact, and that reflects an overall decline of 19%. Please also note that in the end, the decline going forward will be measured over a share of 13% in total revenues. It has the largest impact at Tempo-Team and at Yacht. The EBITDA margin arrived at 5.6% compared to 6.2%. Again, the change in mix, the growth in-house, and the fact that professionals has contributed more to profitability last year in the first quarter than this year is coming through here. As I mentioned, we have suffered from some pricing and large contracts, and we are in a process of passing on price increases to our clients. Slide nine, France. It continues to show good outperformance ahead of market, and it's also broad-based growth, but still manufacturing being the main driver in this market. Permanent placement fees, especially in the permanent placement segment, so not so much in the search and selection segment, is up. In total, it's 25% versus 18% in Q4 last year. At the same time, growth in our professional segment in France has improved again. We also see substantial success in our in-house business in France with an increase of new clients, but also the transfer of existing clients to in-house with even higher levels of service and at the same time, lower cost as a result of which it's clearly a win-win. The change in the French low wage subsidy system is coming through in line with our expectations, and we are gradually passing this on to our clients, and negotiations are ongoing. The EBITDA margin arrived at 2.1% as a result of what I've just mentioned, especially the in-house transfers. This also allows for the second bullet here. This allows for our branches, our outlets, to focus more on the specialty segment, but also on the SME, because it takes away the predominant attention to large clients, which is typical. We also see stronger performance in the professional segment. Happy to see in-house here making a very serious impact. Germany shows strong performance in growth again. Slide 10, 29% in the first quarter, and it compares to 32% in the fourth quarter. Please mind the comparables, because 2010 first quarter, we already saw growth of 10%, which was substantially ahead of our competitors in the German market. So comparisons are tough and are getting more tough going forward into Q2. We are now at market in the German market, and we do see a more favorable mix in both companies, both Randstad and Tempo Team. And I'd like to note that Tempo Team is doing very well in the German market, even going through the rebranding. Its growth rates are very substantial. We also see improved professionals' performance, strong growth, especially in IT, and that also comes through at the profitability line. The EBITDA margin has arrived at 5.7% versus 4.3% last year, and we do see that as a result of strong operating leverage, productivity levels having improved substantially, but also ongoing marketing campaigns to support further growth. Important to note is that Randstad and Tempo Team in Germany do apply the BZA collective labor agreement, which means that the Christian collective labor agreement, which is no longer allowed but also might have retrospective effects, has not been applicable to our business in Germany, and as a result of there are no potential liabilities here. We do see continued focus on the sector image and regulation in our business, which in line with also Randstad using the BZA collective labor agreement should help us to improve the business climate. Moving to slide 11, Belgium's solid performance continues again. Organic revenue growth at 20% compared to 17% in the fourth quarter. Outperformance of the staffing markets, and it's important to take out the service checks measuring that market. The industrial segment in Belgium is clearly the main driver, and the administrative segment we do see strengthening in Belgium. As a result, the EBITDA margin arrives at a good 4.2% compared to 2.9% last year, and that is reflecting strong incremental conversion ratios. But also we do see pricing of large contracts being sensitive and also cost price increases to be dealt with going forward. In the UK, it's a mixed picture on slide 12. And again, I'm going to move to the graph at the right down corner of the slide. In the first quarter, you can see our private business and public business exposure, and it reduced from north of 30% to 25% in the first quarter in 2011. That's also reflected in the first bullet. Organic revenue growth came in at 4%, but the private sector contributed a solid 22%, whereas the public sector showed a decline of 27%. And that has not been very helpful as a result. Healthcare, education, and staffing were affected by the reduction in the public sector spending. In-house continued to gain market share, but also here, we do see continued strong growth against tougher comparables. So going forward, that will become more challenging. We also see strong professionals growth in the private sector, and then especially in engineering, finance, ICT, media, and human resources. Permanent fees are up 7% versus 5% in the fourth quarter, and that is despite the public sector exposure. EBITDA margin has now arrived at 1.4 versus 2.2 in the first quarter of last year, and important to note is that the integration of back offices in the UK is progressing well. Then on the next slide, 13, North America, it's already our fifth consecutive quarter of growth, which we celebrate. Organic growth came out at 19% in the first quarter compared to 21% in Q4, but please note that the comparables are challenging here already for a while. The U.S. grew in line with market, but Canada clearly outperformed the market. In the U.S., staffing remained very strong at 21% growth, and the mix has improved through a larger share of admin business now adding to, and also permanent placement in the staffing business is showing healthy growth. In the professional business, we do see growth of 16%, and IT and engineering continue to be the main drivers here. In the U.S., we do see managed services to show continued strong growth, and finance and accounting remains challenging. We have lost some of our key staff to very competitive recruiters like Google in the market, which on the one hand, is a compliment for the quality of our people, but on the other hand, we cannot compete with the conditions being offered. The EBITDA margin arrived at 2.2% compared with 1.5% last year, again reflecting productivity improvements and operating leverage. Then on the next slide, 14, for the first time our segment performance as announced, we have allocated costs to the various segments, and sometimes this is more art than science, and that's why we have tested it last year. We believe this now reflects a fair view. And as you can see here, our staffing business across the group has returned an EBITDA margin of 3.1%, so improved from 2.5% last year. The growth in this segment is predominantly driven by industrial clients, and clearly these are the early movers. In the meantime, we see the admin segment strengthening and productivity improving. In-house, a solid return of 3.3%, higher than the first quarter of last year, and also strong growth. This is partly driven by the transfers from the former video network, so this means the Randstad France business, for example, which had not been served, the large clients of our business over there had not been served yet by in-house, and we are transferring that. And as I mentioned before, this is contributing to the bottom line as well. So we do see improved profitability across all countries here, very successful. Professionals, that is the late cyclical segment, is mainly led by the engineering business and IT business. It's still down in the Netherlands and the UK due to the government exposure, but it's leading in terms of the EBITDA margin, which it should. And please note that in this overview, we have, as I said, tested it throughout 2010, and we have also transferred some of the businesses to professionals, for example, part of the Tempo Team business, and we have also therefore adjusted the 2010 comparables. Corporate costs have not been allocated here. Slide 15, our statistics, our takeaway of what we see in the market. It's indicative only, but I think it's an interesting picture. Manufacturing continues to be strong. Automotive in the U.S. flat, but in other countries it continues to grow. As you can see in the food business in Germany and Netherlands, it's flat. But across the board, I think all the other sectors on this page show what you expect to see, including the public sector being negative here. Moving to slide 16. This is an update on the development of our professionals business and the foundation for our organic growth accelerator. In 2010, we have launched several rebranding campaigns, and as a result, 70% of our professional business will be under the Randstad brand after the rebranding in the U.S., which will be initiated in June 2011. And the Randstad look and feel, so the whole colors, the setup of all our material has been aligned also for the remaining brands. So the look and feel across the board will be similar. Professionals concept has been described for all the business lines. The concept has been tested internally and validated, so we have seen the results internally, and as an effect of that, we are implementing it in the existing businesses across the group. And building on this, we believe that organic growth can be accelerated by an additional plan. So we are planning to further strengthen our leading position in various countries and in various segments. We aim to show this acceleration in the next 2 years, and it will develop gradually, adding 10% of our staff according to the field steering model. And as you have seen in the first quarter of 2011, field steering clearly guides us in the right way managing our productivity. Then we're moving to an update on the key financial points, which is slide 18. EBITDA arrived at 44%, up 109. The effective tax rate amounted to 31%. And that is in line with our guidance, and please note that there is a substantial impact here of the French business tax that was moved to the corporate tax line. It's 6-7% impact out of the 31. Diluted EPS arrived at 0.38, which is 36% up compared to last year. Moving average for DSO improved by 2.5 days to 54 now, and that is an improvement also compared to the previous quarter. And I'd like to note that, as you must have noted from other disclosures, it's a competitive field here as well. Some of our clients believe we are a bank, which we are not, clearly, and we're trying to manage it in such a way. Our free cash flow was very successful. It arrived at 130 million euros compared to 39 million in the first quarter of 2010. The underlying improvement is based on our lower DSO and higher operating results. Net debt arrived at 747 million, and that's not a plane, that's an excellent result. And the leverage ratio at the end of the quarter came in at 1.2 times EBITDA. The income statement on slide 19 summarizes all of this. As you can see, underlying EBITDA is equal to reported EBITDA, so no one-offs. And here you can see the net finance cost having increased from 6 million to 11 million. And please note that that is not the result of a higher net debt or an increase in interest cost. Our spread is currently at 50 basis points. But this is also the result of the fact that we have some currency differences that hit the P&L here. And these are the result of the fact that Randstad has a policy of a natural hedge in its financing, and that means that we do mirror our EBITDA in the composition of our debt. And the short-term part of that, any currency effects flow through the P&L and are recorded here. If one wants to reconcile this later on with the 9 million mentioned in the net in the cash flow statement, the difference in between the 9 million and 11 million is predominantly related to accrued interest on provisions. Moving now to slide 20, the gross margin development. Q1 2010 showed 18.9. We now show 18.1. And the temp margin, as you can see here, is 0.4 lower, and that's a result of what we have stated here in the blue box on pricing pressure on temp margins in some regions, but also the mix shift again, and the impact of the French subsidy system is 0.2. That's a separate green box here. No impact of permanent fees, as I mentioned before, and HRS and other are contributing a negative 0.2. Two, in terms of permanent placement fees, I'd like to add that in the fourth quarter of 2010, this was 7.6% of gross profit. It is now 9.2. And the high point in the past has been the first quarter of 2008 in the combination, and then it amounted to 12.2%. This would have a significant impact on the group gross margin. An update on the drivers of the effective tax rate. You might be familiar with this slide now, but I'd like to point out that the first driver, growth of operating companies and mix effects, is clearly having an impact here. So our tax planning continues to be very successful, but its relative share is decreasing because of growth of profitability in the various countries, and especially in countries with a somewhat higher tax rate. As you can see here, also payments of the repayment of the 131 million will have an impact on the cash tax rate, but this is expected to take place in 2012. So the cash tax rate is roughly at or below the effective tax rate going forward, with the exception of the repayment of the 131 million in 2012. Some selected balance sheet items on slide 22. Not much to say about it. Already mentioned successful working capital management. And we also, of course, performed an impairment test on the Japanese acquisition as a result of the events in Japan, and that indicated to us that we are well off with our Japanese position in the balance sheet. The consolidated cash flow statement on slide 23. Cash flow from operations has increased, and as you can see, additions of PPA, which is plant, property, and equipment. So CapEx effectively is now at 17 million. Last year in this quarter, it was at 12 million. I would say the 17 million is still somewhat at the low end. and then a little lower, as you can see, how our free cash flow has been allocated, predominantly for net debt reduction, but the net finance cost took $9 million out of it, and I just explained the difference with the amount in the P&L. We've also issued some ordinary shares that relate to the option exercises for the executive board and the senior management of the company. The outlook, finally, on slide 24. Organic revenue growth per working day, as mentioned, was 15% in March. We do see that continuing in April. However, and that's the third point here, we'd like to point out that the comparison base is getting more and more challenging. From April to June, growth rate improved from 11 to 15%, so substantial improvement in comparables, and we expect this to make our life a lot more challenging going forward into May and June. We'll continue to have a very strong focus on field steering, as usual, but we're very happy to see the results of that again in the first quarter. And please note that with regards to the net debt development, Q2 is typically a heavy quarter, especially because of the dividend payment that took place in April, $209 million. On top of that, holiday allowances in various countries that are accrued throughout the year are paid in April or May, and also has an impact. So typically, and it will happen this time as well, our net debt position at the end of Q2 will be substantially higher than the one at the end of Q1, and then gradually in the second half of the year this will show further improvements again. And then finally, I'm going to give you the exit rates for the month of March 2011. In the Netherlands, our growth rate was 5%, in France 21%, in Germany 23%, in Belgium 16%, in the UK flat, Iberia plus 3%, North America 17%, and this total arrives at 15%. So we're now moving to questions and answers, and we'll take your first question now.
If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Your first question comes from Tian Tiuiz. Please ask your question.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's Ben Teers, ABN AMRO. Of course, some questions on the gross margin. You indicate that the temp margin pressure was 40 basis points, but can you indicate what price pressure was? And a second question to that is it fair to assume that the remainder of this pressure will then reverse when the mix improves again?
Yeah, hello, Tom. Good morning. About 50% of that is price.
About 50%, okay. And can you confirm that this price pressure is only to defend your market share and that you're not engaging in a price fight?
No, for sure we're not engaging in a price fight. Actually, we have contracts that were for the main part closed at the end of last year still. But of course, the impact is only after the contract comes into effect. But we're never looking for a price war.
Okay, but can you elaborate a bit more on that? What happened to the contracts that you had to renew? Is it that competitors are offering much lower prices and that you just have to join that?
Yeah, always. We are never a price leader on the negative side.
Okay, sorry?
I'd like to add that we would prefer to have two questions per person in order to allow everyone to raise questions. So take your final question for this round, Tern.
Yeah. Final question is on the perm sales deceleration in the U.S. Can you indicate what is going on there and what the outlook is for the perm sales development in the U.S.?
Yeah, the main, actually the only area where we saw a slowdown in perm placement is in finance and accounting. So it's an isolated issue. The other segments of the market kept on developing well.
And will that reverse then again, the isolated issue?
Yeah, we'll have to.
Okay, thanks.
Next, please.
Your next question comes from Aaron Rambakos. Please ask your question.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hello, Roon.
Okay. First, on Yacht in the Netherlands, if I recall correctly, in December the business was at 0% growth level. Now we're back at minus single digits. So what happened? Which segments really fell back? And so can you talk me through that? And the second question is, Also on the Netherlands, if I'm correct, last year in Q2, the government was in particularly bad, resulting in a depressing effect of your business over there. So what was the impact last year in Q2, and what do you see in terms of throughout the quarter in terms of how the government is developing? Do you see any improvement from the minus 19 you're seeing? Is the exit rate better, or is it still sort of at a similar level? Thanks.
Yeah, on the yacht, first of all, we had a working day more in December than we had compared to last year. And I would not take an exact monthly rate as an indication, but it has improved, obviously, from double-digit to single-digit decline. I don't know by heart the decline in government spend in the second quarter of last year, I'm sorry.
But then it started, huh?
Yeah. So the comparables got easier. Is that your point, I guess?
Yeah, but is the government improving throughout the quarter? Is that something you already see, or is it still stable at a minus 19, the number you report?
Yeah, what we can say is that in the Netherlands it feels like the decline is stable. In the UK, we're still uncertain if we have reached that point.
Thank you.
You have 10 questions pending. Your next question comes from Mark Zortzenberg. Please ask your question.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Two questions from my side. First of all, you mentioned the impact from the Japan earthquake on 5 million on the quarter, roughly. But you also mentioned that some automotive clients reduced capacity in the US and Europe. Is that included in the 5 million, or should we take into account also in your underlying that the comps are getting tougher, et cetera, for the second quarter, that the growth in some areas in Europe and the US will come down? Could you maybe specify that a bit? That's my first question.
Yeah, so first we said that the impact for this quarter will be a max of 5 million. Might also be lower, but that's our best estimate now. There might be some automotive clients that will slow down production, but on the total it will not be material.
So we should not take into account in Germany or for instance, or UK that we'll see a strong decline in top line in the second quarter?
Well, as far as we can guess now, that would have not a material impact, Mark, no.
Okay.
So the answer to the question is yes. Sorry.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Ben. And then on your impact from French subsidies, you say everything is according to plan and 50 basis points for the full year. But it seems to me that the impact on the first quarter is around 100 basis points for the full impact, which basically implies that nothing has been passed on. So can you maybe update us a bit what's going on there and what we should expect going forward in Q2, etc.?
Yeah, Jacques van den Broek will answer this question since he's the French expert here.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Jacques.
If you got some 2 hours, I'll explain to you exactly how it works because it's quite complicated. Yes, Q1 is of course the toughest quarter because you negotiate throughout the quarter and then passing on in terms of new prices, higher prices, and then also materializing in the same quarter is of course tough and almost impossible. Next to that, and that's a very technical element, Q1 is also not a very positive quarter in terms of how you administer these subsidies throughout the quarter. That has to do when contracts end and how the quarter is situated with holidays and weekends. So very complicated. So you might say that the total effect we mentioned of 1% potential negative for the year would also be more negative in Q1.
Sorry. 50 basis points at all.
Yeah, but 1% if not passed on, eh? So
yeah, exactly. So in the first quarter we have still the full impact of 1 percentage point.
Yeah.
And then as of Q2 we should see that slowly being passed on and administered.
Yes, and as mentioned in the presentation, we still have quite a few negotiations pending, which is more than 10, at least.
Okay.
With sizable clients, so the weighted average effect is still it's still out there. But we're positive on the developments.
And Mark, if you look at the gross margin, please note that the mix effect also has an impact here. Strong growth of in-house.
Yeah, of course. All right, thank you.
Your next question comes from Toby Weeks. Please ask your question.
Hi, guys. Two, if I can. The first is on the SG&A guidance. Was there any seasonality coming from Q4 into Q1? And I'm assuming that the professionals accelerator expense is included in your guidance. And I think you also mentioned something about marketing expenses. Should we expect those to increase going forward?
Yeah, we believe that, again, cost development going forward will be led by field steering. And we are adding resources in countries where we have reached, or in locations where we have reached solid productivity levels now. Marketing expenses, I mentioned that it's a timing issue very often, so that will come back slightly in Q2. So as a result, we do anticipate a limited increase.
And so marketing expense would be, a few million euros?
Yeah, correct. And the same applies to the growth accelerator. This is the very early stages of this, so we're talking small numbers still at this point in time. So it will be a couple of million.
Okay, a couple of three. Okay, and then the final question is, it's just referring to a report that I saw from the German body that collects temp data, which was indicating that growth in Germany, I mean, despite the comping effect, which is obviously becoming far more difficult, that growth in German temps is likely to be held back because there are just not enough temp candidates who are applying for jobs. Could you give us an indication of whether you think that is the case?
Well, there's big differences per region. In the area of Munich, the unemployment is down to 3%. That means they need to find people a little bit further away. And obviously, a big effect, or an effect might be expected from the fact that on May 1, the borders of Germany open with 10 Eastern European countries. That will also have an effect. But again, there are big regional differences in scarcity or not.
But as a general comment, you'd say that that's not something that's going to hold back growth.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, guys.
Your next question comes from Wim Gill. Please ask your question.
Yeah, good morning, Wim Gill, Royal Bank Scotland. In the exit rate, you mentioned that the Dutch market was growing about 5% or your Dutch operations were growing about 5% in March, which appears to be a bit of a slowdown. Is that driven by more industry, or is that more or less driven by administrative? And is that indeed the case that also in April you see a flattish, if not slowing down, market in the Netherlands? And then a second question with respect to Yacht, assuming that the administrative or the white professional segment is not gonna lift off in the Netherlands, what needs to be done with respect to Yacht in order to get the momentum going there again?
Okay, your first point is, please note that the number I gave you is per working day, so it has been adjusted per working day. That explains the gap you're looking at. The second point is it will take off. I mean, it's unavoidable that given the trends we see globally, that we also will see a growth in Yacht Netherlands. And by the way, the private business of Yacht today is growing. So it has already started and it will strengthen, and the share of the public sector in the portfolio of Yacht is automatically decreasing as a result of the developments. So the relevance of the private sector in the portfolio will increase, and that's where we already see growth.
Okay, so the 5% growth is not a reflection of a slowing market, but it's more a reflection of working days.
Correct.
Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from David Tyer. Please ask your question.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Coming back on the gross margin, could you confirm that the gross margin pressure in the Netherlands and Belgium, at least the temp margin pressure, I have to say, is more than the overall 40 basis points?
Yeah, we answered this question a little bit earlier. That is about 50% is price, so the 0.2% about is price effect.
Yeah, okay, thanks. But what I mean is I see a pressure of 40 bps on the temp margin. Is it more than the average for the Benelux area?
Oh, yes, that's more than average for that's correct. Yeah.
Okay, thanks. And could we, that's the second one then, assuming that we have just you've just started to negotiate that contract or a couple of contracts, that we are going to see the lagging impact also the coming quarters?
Yeah, again, a big part is depending on mix.
Yeah, and you know, going forward we'll see a couple of elements. We'll see some impact of these renegotiated contracts. At the same time, in the Netherlands, we also have to deal with cost price increases that are being transferred to clients gradually going forward, and that will come through in the next couple of quarters.
and you are quite, let's say, optimistic on that, or it's simply a matter of...
We're quite disciplined on that.
Quite disciplined, okay. Well, let's wait and see in Q2. Thanks, guys.
You have 7 questions pending. Your next question comes from Jamie Brandwood. Please ask your question.
Morning. So 2 questions, if I may. Firstly, just in terms of Germany, can you tell us how the gross margin was developing in Germany and any expectations for the remainder of the year as to whether you think the German gross margin can increase or not this year? And then secondly, on the professional growth accelerator plans, so the €2 million of spend in Q2, what total spend are you planning for the remainder of 2011 on the professional growth accelerator plan?
Yeah, to start with the second question, this extra accelerator will be managed also through field steering. That means we have allowed the initial investment. We will only allow additional investments at the moment that the people that have been hired now are actually returning a specific amount of gross margin per head. So that means the marginal increase in investment is not going to be that high. So we don't have a given amount. It depends on the productivity they reach. We do have a plan to get to about 500 consultants if we can over a period of 2 years.
Okay.
It's the same initiative as we had a couple of years ago with specialty units, where we said we want to have 300 specialty units to boost that part of our business and gives you also a way to track what we're doing there.
And with regards to the German gross margin, this one has been flat more or less over the last couple of quarters. And going forward, we expect to see a larger contribution from the non-blue-collar segment. And as a result of that, we should see some support for the gross margin there. But please note that we are very happy with the blue-collar business because a lot of the German business is served through in-house. With a very low cost level, as a result of which the EBITA margin already gets the support of that. So I think it would be wrong to look at gross margin as an indicator for profitability.
Okay. And Robert Jan, sorry to just sneak one more in. Interest charge for the full year versus that minus €11 million in Q1?
Yeah, you know, I cannot predict the currency effects going forward. So if you just look at the components, then net debt will be a little higher at the end of Q1. The spreads will remain as well at the end of Q2. Sorry, the spreads will be what I mentioned, 50 over Euribor, and then it will go down again, net debt. So I'm very optimistic about that part of it, but I have no clue what will happen to currencies. And by the way, in 2010, this has had either a limited or positive effect. And now in the first quarter, given the depreciation of the euro against especially the dollar, that has had a negative impact. So it's very much dependent on the global currency markets.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Konrad Zomer. Please ask your question.
Hi, good morning. It's Konrad Zomer, Berenberg Bank. Just one question on the launch of the Professionals Organic Growth Accelerator Plan. You talk about the 500 consultants, you talk about the couple of million of initial investment, but can you maybe tell us a bit more about what it actually entails? Because I think that is still rather vague in the presentation, the press release. What countries are involved? What is more to it than just a rebranding of the professional business? Just a little bit more content, please.
Yeah, sure. It has nothing to do with the rebranding. It is an extra initiative to boost our position in the professional market. All opcos have been invited to come up with plans. We have looked at those plans, and the ones with the proper plans actually be approved. That's how we got to the numbers. But again, it has nothing to do with rebranding. Does that answer your question, Conrad?
No, I mean, that's good to know, but what does it involve? I mean, I can't really understand what it is that you're going to do in this plan.
Okay, so we have chosen markets, as you say, countries and segments. Actually, they have been chosen by the opcos themselves. They've put forward investment plans, and investment plans means an X amount of an X number of extra consultants, which we're going to monitor separately. And then with a plan for the next 2 years, and the total plan adds up to a bit over 500 consultants in all the respective markets. but they will only be added allowed the second investment if the first wave has the right return. So it's field steering again. So we look at the gross profit per FTE. If the new hires are at the required levels, then the opcos are allowed to add extra consultants again. So that's next to our normal growth in our normal operations. On top of that, we have this plan to accelerate the investments there.
Okay. And can you give us the countries which are involved, please?
It's a lot of countries. Australia is big as an example. France has been investing. Quite a few markets. Actually, a lot of markets have been invested.
Right. More than 10.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Margot Joris. Please ask your question.
Hi, two questions, if I may. The first one is, could you give us an update on the overcapacity, then mainly in the Benelux? And then the second one is on the gap of tempo team with the Dutch market. Did the gap improve throughout the quarter, and are you still convinced that you can close the gap by or in the second quarter?
The gap with the market and tempo team is more or less flat through the quarter.
Mm.
And overcapacity in the group, you know, when we started to see the improvements coming through, we estimated it to be at around 30%. We've now eaten into that, so for sure it's going to be lower, and the best estimate at this point in time would be that it's around 15% or so.
Okay.
But, you know, it's always an art, huh? If we have overcapacity in the north of the Netherlands and we are full in the Eindhoven region in the south of the Netherlands, then it's very hard to shift that. That is our dilemma.
Okay.
And the nice part is the seasonal pattern, of course. Q1 being the slowest quarter, so that will automatically help. Mm.
And then my second part of the question, do you believe you will be at the market in the second quarter?
Sorry, do we?
Do you believe that you will be in line with the market with your Tempo Team brand in the second quarter?
No, I think it will take a bit longer than that.
Okay. Thank you.
You have six questions pending. Your next question comes from Charles Wilson. Please ask your question.
Good morning. With your helpful guidance for Japan of 5 million of EBITA in Q2, do you think it's just a Q2 event, or will it stretch into Q3 and Q4?
Yeah, that's highly uncertain. And again, we said up to 5 million. And we also see some signals coming through that there is demand for workers to help cleaning up. So we hope it's going to be limited, but I think it cannot be excluded that we'll see impact in Q3 as well.
Okay. And secondly, do you have a view when you think you'll see stabilization in the UK public sector part of your business?
I think that's the point I've made. I think that's just a little too early.
Okay.
Your next question comes from Laurent Brunel. Please ask your question.
Yes, good morning, Laurent Brunel, Exane BNP. Two questions, if I may. First, on the French market. So the momentum has been quite strong, despite tougher comps in manufacturing especially. Do you believe that the pickup in construction should offset the fact that industrial are starting to flatten out? And what is your exposure to construction? Is it in line with the market? And secondly, can you assume that you will deliver a structurally lower gross margin given the increased contribution from in-house services and the fact that the demand is clearly coming from large clients asking for more flexibility? Thanks.
This is Jacques van den Broek answering your questions. We don't think that the uplift in construction will offset the tougher comparisons in industrial, because it's also a larger part of the business. Nevertheless, we're happy with the fact that construction is improving. And we have a strong position in construction, not better than market or our overall position, but also not worse. So we'll benefit from that market. Your second question was on
gross margin.
Oh yeah, on gross margin. Yeah, well, the fact that we grow in-house is not so much the fact that our margin is lower.
is not higher either. It's mostly, as we mentioned, transfers. The good news is not that the gross margin therefore increases, but also not decreases. The good news is that market share increases at the client. We've seen sizable market increases at the clients which we transferred, because of course the concept is geared towards that. The flexibility at most of these clients, by the way, is already rather high. So our market share increases, the overall flexibility of clients within that segment doesn't increase. Lastly, better returns in France need to come from the effect of the fact that we sort of liberate the branches to sell more into specialty business in the French market. As you've probably heard, in last year we've created more than 250 specialty units, and therefore we hope to change the business mix a bit towards higher margin segments in the French market.
Okay, thank you very much.
And again, please don't confuse average gross margin with profitability, because the underlying delivery system, of course, determine what the cost levels are, so what the profitability is.
Not at all.
Everybody knows, but I can't help from repeating myself all the time, just to be sure.
Your next question comes from Tom Sykes. Please ask your question.
Yeah, morning, everybody. First question was just, excuse me, a bit of a cold, but first question was just on your slide of revenue development per industry segment. I appreciate that a lot of this is subjective, but there seems to be a lot more zeros, minuses, and single pluses than double pluses as there were last time. Is this sort of looking back at what happened in Q1, or is this a bit more what you think is the outlook looking forward into Q2 as well? And maybe if you could pick out sort of a couple of the sort of larger businesses within that where there's been a change in outlook.
Well, Tom, I think it's a fair point to raise, and the fact that you see more zeros is the result of more tough comparables. That's also the statement I made at the very end when looking at the outlook. Life is getting more challenging, and that's exactly what you see here.
And sorry, just as an adjunct to that, would you still expect...
It is a Q1 number, sir.
Yeah, okay. But just as a, would you still expect to be in double-digit growth by the end of Q2?
Well, if you just follow the typical patterns, that is what's happening. We gave you an indication on the month of April already, because we do see trends continuing, so it will be very hard to be non-double digits.
Okay.
But again, May and June will be more challenging, for sure.
Fair enough. And if we could just a quick one, the incremental margin, I believe, was 30, or incremental conversion was 35%. You've obviously got a targeted sort of 50, and appreciate the gross margins were weak and you've gone through that, but is there any change in outlook for incremental conversion for the remaining three quarters of this year, please?
Yeah, looking at Q1, as we always make the point, is very, very difficult.
Sure.
This quarter of the year. And then on top of that, if we get to 50% across the growth, we would be very happy. What we are sharing with you is our sort of our management practice. This is what we are aiming for. At the same time, we frequently allow our opcos to make additional investments, like the ones we would have just mentioned, to accelerate growth going forward again. So it is a tool rather than a precise target, an external target.
Okay. All
right, quite a few units have had high growth for a long period of time now, so they have filled up their capacity. So there, the 50% conversion is not applicable anymore. Obviously.
If we would continue the 50% in the end, I mean, our margins would reach 50%. So I would say typically it's the first sort of 1 to 2 years that you can follow this 50% conversion. At the beginning it's higher, at the end it's slightly lower, as an ambition, not as an external target, and then it gradually gets lower, of course.
Sure.
So we now have more than 1 year of growth behind us, and in some of our opcos, we already have 1.5 years of growth behind us.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You now have three questions remaining. Your next question comes from Rajesh Kumar. Please ask your question.
Good morning. If I may... First, on trade receivables, if I look at trade receivables as a proportion of sales, Q1 2009 to 2010 to 11 has come down from 78% to 76% to 73%. Can you give us a sense on the impact of bad debt provisions as a result in Q1 compared with basically last year? And does that have something to do with the public sector exposure? And the second one is, could you give us a sense on the wage rate trends in Netherlands professional business?
Could you please repeat your second question?
The salary trends in professional business in Netherlands.
The trend that you see in the trade receivables is reflecting the reduction in DSO, first of all, and secondly, bad debts do not show any material change. And actually, throughout the downturn, it has remained well under control. You could sort of take as a reference point that we are typically losing between 10 and 20 basis points of revenues on bad debts, and it hasn't reached the 20 basis points in the bad years of the downturn, and that is a result of good credit management. But I would say 10, 15 basis points, that should be it.
Salary levels in the Netherlands are about flat. If you look at our bill rate, it's about flat.
Okay. Thanks.
Your next question comes from Mark Forstenberg. Please ask your question.
Yeah, a couple of follow-ups from my side. First of all, on the difficulty in passing on the CLA wage inflation in the Netherlands, Belgium, is it also the case in Germany? And why is it this time? Why is it so difficult? Because I haven't seen these statements over the last couple of quarters or last year. Is that because the market is getting tougher on the pricing side? Could you share a bit what's going on there?
No, it's not wage inflation, Mark. It's a change in social security charges.
Okay. Can you give a bit more color on that, how that works?
If we manage them efficiently, then it's profitable. It can be slightly profitable for us. If then something changes in that legislation, it's difficult to maintain that profitability. So it's not directly in the margin to the client. It's in the gross salary.
And that is for Holland, Belgium, and also for other regions?
No. That's mainly for Holland.
That's for Holland. But in Belgium, what is it then in Belgium?
Yeah, Mark, in Belgium it's pretty straightforward. There are a few clients, and they go to tender. You might still see this as, well, we see this as sort of the end of where we are now in a certain point in the cycle. They still try to renegotiate, and we see some heavy pricing, and we always need to see if we want to continue at this price or not, and sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. And as mentioned, it's good news but partly bad news. Still, a large part of the growth comes from the blue collar. So it's also a mix effect of these renegotiated contracts early to 10, which still show a double-digit growth. So that has a good effect.
Okay. And then my second question on your SG&A guidance. You say a small increase versus Q1, but we should add already 2 million, of course, for the professional accelerator. Should we take it from there that we should see a small increase? Is that how the guidance is? Because the guidance on Q1 and the reported one, there's quite a gap. So how should we read this?
Mark, we are incapable of managing the group of, I think you estimated to be 16 billion revenues at on the level of 1 or 2 or 3 million of cost levels. So I made the point that we expect a limited increase in the second quarter on top of the 562, and I think we should stick to that.
Okay, so not the 2 million extra on top of that. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's a few million.
All right. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
And I can add, actually, hopefully it's going to be a lot more, but then growth should accelerate.
Yeah, let's hope for that.
You have two further questions in the queue. Your next question comes from Matthew Lloyd. Please ask your question.
Good morning, gentlemen. The obligatory two. One, the first one, what's your vacancy sort of intake? What's the order intake flow doing relative to your exit rates? Is it sort of slower or faster or about the same?
I don't know. We don't have the collective numbers here. My guess is it's about the same.
Okay, thank you for that. And then secondly,
the same, you also have to put it into the seasonal pattern. It's a guess.
Okay, I appreciate that. Your IR department can put up with me handing them for follow-up. Second question, and you won't have a hard number for this either, but just your sense, really. Of that part of the gross margin decline which you think is price, not mix, how much of that is to do with managed service provider and RPO kind of contracts and deals?
Not a lot, because it's not in the US where we've seen this, and Canada where that's the biggest part of the business, a bigger part of the business relatively.
Okay, and then one adjunct, because I'm an analyst and I can't count like Jaime. Do you ever agree when you do a temp MSP deal to guarantee the gross margin, or and then find that you have to pay a higher gross margin to another agent to supply, or do your contracts automatically pass through the gross margin when you can't self-fill?
We never guarantee.
Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, it's star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your
next. We should take the last question now.
Your final question comes from David Hancock. Please ask your question.
Thanks, Ed. My two questions are both around profitability. One is on the segment profit numbers that you gave us. You said you wanted to go through a year to fine-tune your allocations. Having gone through that process, are you still comfortable with your medium-term targets per segment, so 4 to 5% for in-house, 5 to 7% for staffing, and above 10% for professionals?
These numbers have been tested through 2010, and indeed it has not resulted in any adjustments. And please note that these are peak margins. These are not the through the cycle ambition. This is the peak margins that one should arrive at having had a good ride, so in terms of revenue growth. I think I should note that you're explicitly emphasizing 10%+. I mean, 10% in the professional segment is already a very, very good performance.
Okay, great. Thank you. And the second question is around the decline in public sector business in the UK and the Netherlands. Is the public sector business pre these declines, has that been a higher EBIT margin business? And maybe put another way, could you split, rather than by revenue, public sector in the UK and the Netherlands, could you split it by profit for us, please?
Yeah, in the UK it was a relatively healthy contributor to EBITDA, and in the Netherlands it was at market roughly, but in the UK it was very relevant for our return.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, and this concludes the session. Hope to see you back again at the end of July in the summer to discuss the Q2 results. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
That does conclude the conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.